9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Live from Swansea, this is The Twilight Show with Nathan Ginn.
Brada pawb, croeso I aberdyn. Hello everyone and welcome to Swansea. It is The Twilight Show with me, Nathan Ginn, and what a show we've got for you tonight. We are talking to Kate Stewart, Year 3 teacher and Curriculum for Wales lead, about how to make impact with the changing curriculum on the ground in a school. So as I say, croeso, bore da, welcome to Swansea.
Live from Swansea, this is The Twilight Show with Nathan Ginn on Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live at ttradio.org, or to join in the conversation, download the Podbean app and search Teachers Talk Radio. Follow the hashtag TTRadio. Tune in, talk it out with Teachers Talk Radio.
Borada pawb, croeso I abertawe. Hello everyone, welcome to Swansea. It is a little bit of a South Wales fest for you on The Twilight Show here on Teachers Talk Radio tonight. But we are going to be talking about things that really affect us all, I think, in curriculum change. I can see people joining the studio. Don't forget, you can text us. You can call in if you have questions, or, you know, if you want to share your thoughts on what we're talking about. I am talking tonight to a Kate Stewart, Year 3 teacher, Curriculum for Wales lead from Aberdare in South Wales. And it kind of is building for us on things we talked about last week with Impact Wales, about how, I guess, you know, the curriculum can be different, is different in Wales, expectations, teaching, how does pedagogy and, you know, interact with that. But, you know, the real crux of it for me is everyone at some point has to deal with a changing curriculum, and that time has come here in Wales. So I can see Kate in the studio. Kate, can you hear me?
Hi, Nathan. I can. Thanks for having me this evening.
And how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, not too bad. How are you?
Well, you know, it has been it's been a nice day here in my part of South Wales. It's been one of those kind of sunny a little bit, but not these sweltering hot days that we've been having. So, you know, back in school attire, as I should call it, you know, it's been a nice day for it. It's not been kind of that muggy horribleness we've had so far. Some of the things we should do is we should introduce you to everyone who's listening. I will say to all of our listeners as well, don't forget, you can text in, let us know where you're listening from. I have seen some, put it out there, potentially Welsh usernames that have entered the studio, Kate. I'm not sure if you've been clocking them as they come in, but, I'm hazarding a guess that some of those might be Welsh. So if you, wherever you are listening from, text us and let us know where you're listening from. But Kate, why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself?
So I'm Kate. I'm a Year 3 class teacher at Aberdare Park Primary School in South Wales. I'm based part-time in class and part-time out of class with a TLR for leading, learning and teaching, with a specific focus on the curriculum for Wales, because it is massive.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to talk a little bit about that and how big it is, and actually, you know, this impact. I know when we've had a few sort of conversations by message and everything, and I was saying, you know, I was around in England when the 2014 national curriculum came in. Also, there'd been some Ofsted reports more recently that meant we'd changed the curriculum. But this one for Wales at the moment, everyone I talk to, it seems like it's a big thing. So I'll be really interested in hearing what it's like for you as a kind of practitioner in the class, and what it's like for other teachers, you know, on the ground feeling this. But that's where you are now. Tell us a little bit about your journey into teaching then, or how you've found yourself in Aberdare.
So I'm starting my 8th year of teaching. For the first 2 years, they were based in South Wales, in Newport and Merthyr. Then I went international and went and taught in Dubai, where I started my leadership journey as a year group leader. And that's where my passion for the curriculum started. that's when I started to have an input into what we taught and understanding basically what curriculum is. So I stayed in Dubai for 2 years, and then I moved to Spain in Valencia into an outstanding British school. So I've had experience of actually teaching the English curriculum as well as the Welsh curriculum.
Yeah, and I think, you know, jumping into what you said there, one of the things that's really interesting, and I know other hosts like Kate Jones have kind of touched on it a little bit, is we say British schools when we're talking about international, but it's the English curriculum that you're teaching out there in Dubai and in Spain, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think we do. We say British as if we all teach the same curriculum in all of the countries, but actually every country is different, isn't it, within the UK? Their curriculum design and their curriculum process. But internationally, I think they refer to the English curriculum in general.
Yeah, you know, and so that'd be interesting. I'm trying to pitch without, you know, I don't want to pry too much into dates and everything. So was that post 2014, the new current national curriculum you'd have been talking about back then?
Yes, yes. It was the one where the mastery came in.
And the knowledge and that Govian kind of input to it.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that kind of sets a little scene for us. What about, let's talk about, you know, because we'll get into the fact that the Welsh curriculum is really supposed to be this individual school's curriculum. So tell us a little bit about Aberdare, about kind of the kind of catchment of your school, I guess, that the situation you find yourself in, to give us that context for what it's like. So Aberdare's a little bit north of me, maybe 45 minutes up to the heads of the valleys near Merthyr, right?
Yes, yes. So it is deep in the heart of the Welsh valleys. We are a medium-sized school, so about 300 pupils. It is getting smaller at the moment. We're waiting for that COVID baby boom to get the more pupils coming through. We're about 20% free school meals. Sorry, Joe, if I got that wrong.
That's okay. I will just say this, you know, this should be on, if your head is listening, performance management targets or however your school does it. Let's get some of those ticks on there, some stars coming on and pride in your school and sharing what you're doing. So definitely ticks there if your head is listening. I'll jump on that straight away.
So, yeah, it is. It's a wonderful school. We have amazing staff, fantastic children and a really supportive community. And actually, our school is opposite Aberdare Park. So it's literally just across the road. So it's in a really wonderful position as well in Wales.
Okay, so, you know, you've got some rich opportunities there as a primary school. Maybe, like, do you get out into the park? You get off site a little bit with your current curriculum?
Oh, there we go. I've just had a message with around 30% free school meals to correct that. Yeah, but we do. Before COVID, we try and get over the park about once a week. But actually, I saw the year one class going over today. So I think, well, as we return a little bit more to normal, we'll start to go over more so, yeah.
Okay, so that gives us kind of, I guess, a little bit of that context about, you know, where you're coming from with your curriculum design, with how it's all working. Because, you know, as I say, when we were talking with Impact Wales last week, Jane Miller and Finn Wilson, they were talking about that the whole point of this curriculum being is that you've got a chance to shape your curriculum to make it really meet your needs. I know personally, when I was in England, and I, you know, as I say, I was a middle leader when the 2014 curriculum came in primary schools, and it didn't feel like we had any say in it really, because it was really kind of prescriptive. It was all there down to, you know, the dates of the Romans that you needed to study. And it was only much, much later, even really recently, that we'd been given that chance through some of the curriculum work that they'd done in England, some of the Ofsted reviews, that we started to have to think about how we adapted it for ourselves, or at least I felt that. Now, if you're listening in and you've been through this process as well, please message us, call in to share it. But you're talking about, I guess, a wholesale change. The curriculum for Wales, which, you know, we talked about last week, is quite scant, I should say, in its direction for you compared to the English one. So let's talk about that. It got announced, you know, where were you? How did you feel? How did you find out about it? And how did the people around you feel?
So So I think it came about from Successful Futures in 2015. So that was actually my NQT year. I knew very little, I suppose, from what I can remember. The only thing that schools disseminated was that the subjects were going to no longer be subjects and they were going to become areas of learning and experiences. And I know Impact touched on that a little bit last week. But that was all I basically knew before I then travelled internationally. So I then went into the English curriculum. Like you said, it's a bit scarce. It's very, very different to the English curriculum. It's not in the slightest bit prescriptive, which I think teachers were asking, but I don't think we were expecting it to have that much free rein. It is exciting, you know, and I'm one of those rare people who do find change exciting, and I'm always the first person to give things a go. But actually, as we're getting closer to September 2022, and we're learning more about the curriculum and how that looks in practice, you know, it is exciting. But I do know many of my teacher friends and teachers on Twitter, the people I speak to, are finding that change difficult, and it is anxiety provoking. It's the unknown, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I think I felt the same as you when it came to curriculum. As I say, you know, in 2014, when the new curriculum in England came out, I was a maths leader at the time. And I was, you know, I was young and I was hungry and I rewrote everything and I got it. And I felt like at least in some way I was shaping something myself and I had some control. More recently, we went for a curriculum review and changed the whole curriculum again to really make it meet the needs of our children. And I really loved that process as well. But some of those things I wasn't doing during a pandemic, which is what teachers in Wales are doing as well. So did that change how people were feeling about it? Do you think it's added to the nervousness of what we're facing?
I think actually the curriculum was thrown up in the air due to the pandemic, because the way we taught, the way we knew teaching as it was, it's completely changed. We all had to overnight go into online learning and try and figure out things basically by doing, isn't it? And how we kind of see the new curriculum, that experiential learning. So as teachers, we were learning by doing and learning on the job. So I think for our school in particular, we've just said, well, while all the plates are up in the air anyway, let's just go with the change and let's just put everything in place at once.
Yeah, I really love that as a kind of as a thought process, because, yeah, in a way, I guess, you know, we have all gone through this process. Everything is up in the air. I suppose where it lands now, a lot of people talk about that going back to, you know, how it was before, or people talk about the new normal and all of these things. But actually, I guess if you're going to grasp it, there's an opportunity here to land better potentially than where you were before, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's our view on it. I know as a school, if everything is changing anyway, why not roll with the punches and implement the curriculum, the new curriculum, at the same time?
Certainly. And, you know, you don't have to tell us your ESTIN reports or your end of key stage grades, but things are okay at your school at the moment. You're not, you weren't before this point in a tentative position, I guess, which would have worried me if I was, you know, not getting good results, if I was, you know, due inspections that were possibly hazardous. You feel that you were in a safe place to take on this challenge?
Oh, definitely. We are. I've only been at the school for actually 2 years. So I started there in the September, and then the March was the pandemic. So I was only really in school for 2 terms before the pandemic. But it's an amazing school, and we were in the position to move forward with things. And actually, our results at the end of last year are amazing. The progress that some of the children are making just by trialing some new initiatives with the curriculum and really focusing on the new way of teaching and the blended learning, and despite lockdown and despite online learning again, I suppose, the children have still made fantastic progress. So yeah, I think we're in a good position to move forward with it.
Okay. And, you know, you're doing a great job at selling your school, by the way. And I'll put that there.
There's no jobs.
You know, but I'm just, you know, I think it's really important that we talk about context when it comes to the Welsh curriculum, particularly the curriculum for Wales and how it is developing, because it is such, I guess, an integral thing to, I used the example last week that I teach in East Swansea. And East Swansea is very different to West Swansea in the Gower. You know, what we need to do, what we have to achieve, what we're looking to get from our curriculums are very different things. And so I guess that context around it is all very important. We'll take a little bit more context around yourself, I guess, as the lead of this. You as a practitioner, as a professional, what sort of books, articles, advisors, I guess, were you tapping into as part of this? You know, let me get a feel for where you are on that spectrum. Are you reading walkthroughs? You know, are you reading Mary Meyer? Where are you at?
I think the question is, what aren't I reading? You know, I am a self-confessed edu geek. And Joe and Kelly, my head and deputy, are always telling me, why are you reading all these books? You've got books coming out of your ears. But I suppose back last September when I had this role and I was thinking about where we want to go with the curriculum, I came across Simon Sinek randomly and he and his golden circle approach. And it encourages us to look at the why of teaching. Why are we teaching what we're teaching? What are the purposes, which are very, very important for the Welsh curriculum, as we have four core purposes at the heart of everything. So anything we consider and we want to include in our curriculum, we always question the why. You know, why does this need to be part of the curriculum? How does it support the realisation of becoming ambitious, capable learners and so on? So we use this golden circle approach to come up with our curriculum aims and the area aims, area of learning aims. But then I also, at the heart of our curriculum is Wiggins and McTighe, I think is how you say his name, Understanding by Design. I'm not sure. Okay. I think that's what you contacted me about on Twitter originally.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Go on.
And it really focuses on planning backwards. So you plan your unit of work with the end in mind. And I think at the moment we've only used it to inform our medium term planning. So we look at why we're doing what we're doing, what are the desirable results. So what should learners be able to know, understand and do by the end of this work? So rather than starting with a topic title and plucking activities from thin air or going on Pinterest or Facebook and saying, I'm teaching pirates, what can I, what should I teach, what activities have you come up with? We actually start by looking at what the desirable results are, what do we want the learners to be able to know and understand and do by the end of the unit of work. Then once we've identified those, we then go into determining the acceptable evidence, which is identifying those assessment opportunities. How will we know what the learners have learnt, what they've understood? Because I think there's a big difference as well between the taught curriculum and the learned curriculum. So we plan the assessment opportunities before we then plan the learning experiences and the activities. They tend to be the last thing we plan, which is a massive change in mindset for us as teachers, I think. So those two people have been quite synonymous for our curriculum design at the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that gives us a little context, a little bit of an idea. You know, I really agree with some of the stuff you're saying there. Certainly when we were, at my last school, we used a book called Teaching Backwards by Andy Griffiths and Mark Burns. And that was very much a similar approach to looking at where you needed to be and building the steps from there. And I would also say, you know, one of the things I am critical of primary schools, and I try to be like one of these people who puts just good out into the world, but my big critique of primary schools often is that we tend to deliver a series of experiences without really considering how they build, where they lead to. And I always described it being sort of like, you know, I was previously an outdoor ed instructor, and we used to call them taster sessions. And you could go away to PGL or whoever, and you could do a taster session in archery, and you could do that same taster session over and over again, but you weren't getting better at anything because it wasn't progressive and it didn't grow anywhere. And so, yeah, I think this idea of building your curriculum backwards, looking at where you need to get to and how you get there. And as you say, the other thing that I know a lot of people are critical of, and I hear people talking about a lot, is when people have a curriculum that says you are doing Romans, and then people are kind of all over Facebook and Twitter sort of saying, I need some planning for this. I need an activity that links Romans with maths, and it isn't really built into the curriculum. So I guess when we get into curriculum planning a little bit later, I'd really like to talk now. Shani Thomas, I'm going to go for as the username, has just asked in the chat, has texted in saying, what are the names of those books again? So I think that's directed at you, Kate.
I've just replied. So Sean, it's Understanding by Design. It is my core book. Everything that I have planned around the curriculum is started from there. So I'd highly, highly recommend it.
Okay, so Understanding by Design. I'll make a note of that as well, and I'll try and tweet it out afterwards. Do you remember the author of that, that book, Kate?
Wiggins and McTighe. I know actually I've spoken to a few people who were involved in the designing of the curriculum for Wales, and they did use this book to create the draft curriculum framework, so we're not going far wrong if we look at that book to begin with.
And do you know what, Kate, you've kind of touched on something there I guess I hadn't even thought about, but there was something that happened when the 2014 curriculum came out in England. And as I say, this is what I relate it back to, because it's some of my most recent experience. But I started following people who had advised on the consultation. I started going, you know, finding out about their schools to help it find out. So are you talking about, I guess, a similar thing there, trying to go to the horse's mouth, try and find some insider information, for want of a better word?
Yeah, I suppose Twitter is quite new for me. And I have built up those professional networks with other teachers in other schools. In fact, we've got a little a direct message group going now with different people from schools sharing what we're doing. And it's just from, you know, tweeting out what we're doing as a school, especially with the backwards design planning process. And it just so happened that somebody tweeted me from a pioneer school who was involved in the draft curriculum. And they said, this is the book they used. So I was quite lucky with that.
Yeah. You know, and as I say, these networks and social networks, when used for, I guess, more than social, for professional networks, really do help. So I did want to run through, I guess, to finish off this little section as we set the scene for your project, with a little kind of SWOT analysis of where you're at, to help myself, the listeners, really understand your school. We know it's in Aberdare. We know we've got a beautiful park nearby. We know that you've got just above, I guess, national average, or around national average for Wales for deprivation factors. And we know there's a massive change coming, but, you know, as a school, you're feeling fairly stable enough to deal with it. So if we talk through the SWOT analysis for your preparation for the curriculum for Wales changes, what strengths does your school have, do you feel, to deal with this change that's coming?
100% our staff. I have to be 100% honest. We have amazing staff. And despite, you know, with the curriculum, we feel like we're going five steps forward and then something new comes out, a consultation document comes out, and then we have to take 10 steps back. They're adaptable and they're flexible. You know, they all want that this change. They want to change, but they want to do it well. And I think being transparent from day one with them, saying, it's not going to be a clean journey and I can't tell you the exact end goal, but it's going to be messy, but I'll be as open and transparent as I can. And that's held up our staff, you know, understanding. And we work as a team, so definitely our staff are fantastic strengths.
Okay, so we've got the strength of the staff team there. They're on board with it. They're supportive, experienced, I guess, or a mixture of experience. But, you know, you feel in a good place for that. What about weaknesses? And this is a hard one. I know that you've got possibly the head teacher listening, but in a way that this is always important for us, I guess, as middle leaders and leaders, that we accept that there are some things that are not in an ideal place or not as ideal as they could be for us. Yeah. So are there any weaknesses you would identify in your readiness for the Curriculum for Wales change?
I think our understanding of progression and what that looks like within every area of learning and experience. I think experienced staff in particular, they know what progression looks like with the old levels and the old outcomes, but actually what does that progression look like in the new curriculum? And I know we're not alone in feeling this way. So I think that's the biggest weakness, is our knowledge of the progression within the new curriculum.
And it's probably worth us mentioning for any of our secondary colleagues listening that really in a primary school, there potentially could be subjects that are being delivered that maybe you don't have someone with a degree in.
Yeah.
Because whilst that, you know, you would be hoping that someone step up to be the curriculum lead for it, or the subject lead in whatever the situation the school is. But primary schools don't necessarily have subject experts in the same way that a secondary school does to help with some of that stuff, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. You know, we're expecting our staff to design a curriculum, a progressive curriculum for expressive arts, for humanities. But like you said, it's very different to secondary, where they are experts, or they tend to be experts in their field. Primary tend to be more, not well-rounded, but more holistic in terms of our knowledge. It goes across all the different areas. So, yeah, I think that knowledge of planning a progressive curriculum is difficult.
Okay, so this one I think you're going to be big on, because the way you've talked about it so far, I think this is where you sit as a person. I'm pitching that out there. Opportunities of the Curriculum for Wales. What are the opportunities that you see?
So developing our teachers. So whilst that's a weakness, we're going to develop our teachers. You know, we're going to provide them with research days, their pedagogy. You know, you mentioned walkthroughs. That's something we've implemented this year. Improving the standards of learning and teaching. And also one of the biggest opportunities, I think, is we've come from a content coverage focused curriculum where we've tried to tick off, but we've covered this, move on, we've covered this, move on. So the new curriculum allows us to teach less, but teach it well, you know, get that depth, get that mastery. And really, we don't need to move on until our children really know and understand what we want them to.
So we're talking about, you know, a quality job here of education, a quality education, rather than, as I would describe it, as I said earlier, taster sessions in different historical aspects. You're hopeful that this will mean you can go deep, you can get engaged, all of those things, right?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, now the last one then, and sometimes this category is broad because we don't know what's going to happen, I guess, in the world. And I'm pretty sure no one on their school improvement plans wrote global pandemic 2 years ago when they were working out what the threats were. But what are the threats that are in place that could be the Curriculum for Wales? What are our potential pitfalls?
I think the shared understanding, because ultimately every school in Wales is responsible for designing their own curriculum. But that means we'll have 1,100 curriculums. Do we all have a shared understanding of curriculum? Do we all have a shared understanding of progression? Just yesterday, I had a passing conversation at lunchtime with the head teacher about our shared understanding of knowledge. You know, is that shared amongst all schools? So I think it is having that shared understand a progression, assessment and curriculum across all schools in Wales to ultimately ensure all our children have the same opportunities.
Yeah, and I guess that's a really interesting thing for you to touch on, because, you know, I come from the English system where it was set up and we would have things like in primary cluster moderations, where you'd get a group of schools together and all be sharing each other's work and deciding if it was on track or not for a certain year group. But I guess potentially that won't be able to happen as much.
Yeah, I think it, you know, again, it's what would that look like if within the cluster we are all doing different curriculums? Then how can you compare our school to another school? How can we ensure that all the children going up to the secondary schools have the same, you know, experiences, knowledge, skills, have been exposed to the same learning experiences? So that, I think that is something that the Welsh Government are aware of now, by looking at some of the feedback that they've released this week. But that's the biggest threat, I think.
Okay, well, I think you've set us up perfectly. We are going to go to an ad break, but when we come back from our ad break, Kate, you're going to explain, I guess, a bit of a timeline of the project for us about how you've kind of put this into place, the things you've done. I'm really interested in how you're, I guess, getting to grips with this curriculum change that is happening. So are you happy to stay around and see us after the ads?
Yep, definitely. I'll be here waiting.
Okay, fabulous. So off we go to the ads and we will see you on the other side, guys.
Need support with your phonics teaching? Did you know Oxford University Press now has 3 DfE-validated programmes to help you? Read Write Ink Phonics, Floppy's Phonics, and the brand new Essential Letters and Sounds. Essential Letters and Sounds will get all your children reading well, quickly, using phonics books you may already have in your classroom. Developed by the Knowledge Schools Trust English Hub, it's affordable, easy to use, and makes teaching phonics with letters and sounds more effective. Whatever your school's phonics needs, Oxford has the solution. To find out more and receive support from your expert local educational consultant, visit oxfordprimary.com/phonics. Do you struggle with people pleasing? Is it a constant battle managing different and difficult personalities? Why not inspire, challenge, and empower your team through the MAL CPD Essential Coaching Skills for School Leaders course, or gain practical skills to become a strong and compassionate leader through the Assertive Leadership and the Emotionally Intelligent Leader courses. All MAL CPD courses are accredited by the Institute of Leadership and Management. Find out more at www.malcpd.com. Every teacher loves stationery, right? Imagine getting a selection of fun, beautiful, and unique stationery items designed and selected especially for teachers, delivered through your door every month. You need to check out teacherslovestationery.club.
I'm always so excited when the box arrives. It's such a treat.
My Teachers Love Stationery Club box is just a little treat to myself every month.
It's always full of delightful and surprising items, including some really good quality stationery brands.
And because you never know what you're going to get, it makes it even more fun and special when you get it.
Visit teacherslovestationery.club and enter the code TTRADIO when you buy your first stationery box to save £2 today. Teacherslovestationery.club.
Live from Swansea, this is The Twilight Show with Nathan Ginn on Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live at ttradio.org, or to join in the conversation, download the Podbean app and search Teachers Talk Radio. Follow the hashtag TTRadio. Tune in, talk it out with Teachers Talk Radio.
Hello everyone and welcome to Swansea on Teachers Talk Radio on the Wednesday Twilight Show with me, Nathan Ginn, and this evening I'm joined by Kate Stewart, Year 3 teacher, curriculum lead for Wales, live from Aberdare. Kate, how are we?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you very much.
And I should mention this, since we've likely got Welsh listeners on, and I've got you in the studio, Kate. I got picked up on this last week for saying bore da, which I use generally because everyone recognises that, you know, it's from Wales. But I should really be saying noswaith da, because we're into the evening now. But I did Impact Wales last week when they were on the show did pick me up on that, and I felt like I'd had a little kind of slap on the wrist for my Welshness for doing
it. You're trying, and that's the main thing.
I am. I'm a Welshophile, I guess, in that sense. I did do my training here. I trained in Swansea as a primary teacher, And so it is, you know, it is part and parcel of me now as a teacher. And even when I moved back to England, I did find it hard to break the habit of using Welsh, incidental Welsh, in the classroom, because it had been so ingrained into me, which is, I think, a really positive thing, and hopefully something that really continues in the curriculum for Wales as well. I know it's a big part of the culture. But yeah, I did thought I'd drop that in. It shouldn't be Borda, people. We are Noswaitha by this time in the evening, possibly onto Nostar, depending on where you are in the world. Adverts we had. It is worth me mentioning as well, I know they sponsor us, but I signed up for Teachers Love Stationery this week, so I'm expecting to find a parcel arriving for me every month with more stationery, because I do love, you know, again, primary teacher in me, I do love a pencil, a pen, some tape and some stickers. So I am I think the adverts have worked on me, at least listening through to them.
Can you even call yourself a teacher if you don't like stationery, if you don't look forward to that getting a new pencil case and notebook and diary in the summer holidays?
You say that, but I will, you know, I love my current school. I think it is amazing, and I could not sing its praises high enough. But I will shame them slightly in that they, you know, I had to ask specifically to have some different coloured board pens, because there was an expectation that I would only want black. And I was like, No, get me the range, get me the rainbow. I'm going to use them all. I will need all of those colours. That is the one shame thing that I will put on my new current school, who are amazing and I do think are wonderful in everything else they do, except for, you know, me needing to remind them that there's more than black when it comes to board pens. So, Kate, we have been talking about, first off in the show, setting the scene for where you are teaching at the moment, the things that are happening in Wales, and this curriculum change. So if you've just joined us, the curriculum in Wales has been, I'm going to say it in its most brutish terms, has been dumped onto schools. There has been guidance, some what we would term in the English curriculum as curriculum intent. You know, there has been a little bit of that about the four purposes of what the Welsh curriculum should be. But to a large extent, it's kind of just been put out there to you as schools to come up with something, right? So tell us a little about how you've approached this conundrum that you are now faced with.
I like the brutality of how you describe that then. I think that's what we're all dying to say, but nobody really is brave enough to say it. I think it's been around from Successful Futures in 2015. So it's been on the back burner for many schools, because 7 years down the line, nobody's even thinking that far ahead. But when I joined my school 2 years ago, the very first thing, you know, we did was a staff questionnaire. Because both myself and the deputy were new to the school, and we needed to understand where our staff were. In September 2020, what was their confidence like with the curriculum for Wales? What was their understanding of the four core purposes and our pedagogical principles? And we found that despite, you know, training and being drip-fed information, that staff, they did lack that confidence in the change. So we thought, why not start from scratch? So in the last 2 years, I think we have moved mountains and really, really pushed forward with the curriculum. And I'm very lucky that I've got a trusting SLT that will trust the ideas I come up with. And then the staff, you know, are fabulous and just going with it. So we started by, we did some twilight sessions on evaluating the pedagogical principles. So looking at all 12 of them, what these might look like in terms of for the learner, what they look like for the teacher and for our school, because everybody's curriculum is designed for the needs of the learners in the individual schools. Then we were hit with lockdown 3.0 in spring. So we set ourselves a challenge. We thought, we're going to look on the four core purposes first. They're the heart of the curriculum for Wales. So we put it out to children and they designed superheroes for each core purpose.
Okay, can I just read out? I'm going to read out the four purposes just for anyone who's listening, because I realise we're talking them through. But the four core purposes of the curriculum for Wales are that we should be creating ambitious, capable learners, enterprising, creative contributors, healthy, confident individuals, and ethical, informed citizens. So those are those four core purposes that the curriculum's supposed to deliver on, right?
Yes. So by the end of education, our children should be realising the four core purposes. So each of those purposes, which ultimately is nothing new, it's just making them more obvious for the curriculum.
And so you were saying you had the children design superheroes.
Yeah. So we decided to come up with something that visual, especially in primary. Our children need something visual, a visual representative with key vocabulary and something to be referred to. So our school council considered entries and decided to blend a few together, which were brought together by a graphic designer. So then when we returned to school then in summer term in 2021, we launched these four core purposes. So we started by, really immersing our staff and our children in what each four core purpose looks like, because that looks different in nursery. An ambitious, capable learner looks different in nursery to year six. So it's really just as staff getting our heads around it and introducing children to the language and to experiences to allow them to begin fulfilling those purposes. Then one of the biggest things we have done is implement metacognition and inquiry-based learning. So I held two inset days at the start of summer term where we looked at metacognition and inquiry-based learning, because metacognition is a huge key to nurturing an inquiring mindset, and it's an integral part of the curriculum for Wales. And I think the curriculum, the Successful Futures, mentions that metacognition can help learners to take greater control of their own learning, which ultimately is what we're there as teachers to do. We want children to become independent and know about the way that they think and knowing how and when to apply skills and strategies to support themselves in their learning. So we knew that some staff had an understanding of metacognition, but again, was this knowledge of metacognition and the understanding shared amongst all our staff? So it would have been easy to get an outside company to pay and to get them to come in and deliver training. But actually, I delivered the training. I sat there over the Easter holidays and read around the subject, read countless books, and delivered inset on metacognition. So we thought we'll start by introducing the language of learning. So children, they may be aware of how they learn, but can they articulate it? Can they talk about what they are learning and how they are learning? So our focus was on making those learning processes explicit for children, using specific verbs during a lesson, such as I'm discussing, I'm researching, I'm evaluating, I'm predicting. And that was the first step. And I can honestly say that by the end of the summer term with my last class, I was just completely blown away by the way they could articulate their learning and the way they considered their learning in a way that was completely different to before. So that was one of the areas we really pushed forward with, was metacognition. But then we've also looked at inquiry-based learning, and we follow a 5 E's format. So it goes through engage, explore, explain, extend, and evaluate. And I introduce staff to what inquiry-based learning is, and why, how it links with metacognition, because there's no point implementing lots of disjointed strategies just because I've plucked them from thin air. Everything has to link and work towards our final aim of the curriculum. So I set the staff a challenge. We know what inquiry-based learning looks like in science. So I told them to create a humanities inquiry, because we had planned to have fortnightly session, fortnightly units of work on each AOLE, so each area of learning. So we had 2 weeks to immerse ourselves and our learners in expressive arts, 2 weeks for humanities, and 2 weeks for science and technology. And our staff were had a project to create a humanities inquiry. And the feedback, again, you know, from the children is that they've never enjoyed learning so much. And I know there's this huge thing in education at the moment about learning being fun. And ultimately, you know, we're not there to make it fun. But if they enjoy learning whilst they're learning, that makes life so much easier, doesn't it? And that the children, they felt responsible for their learning and had an increased ownership over their learning. And as teachers, we enjoyed being facilitators in that process and challenging and directing the learning through active questioning rather than, you know, that direct instruction all the time.
Yeah, I think, you know, what's really interesting hearing you talk about it is you know, I really like this idea that you are considering pedagogy alongside curriculum.
Yeah.
That, you know, the method of delivery has to match the thing that you're delivering. You know, I have been aware of schools that have implemented curriculum change. I'm just hearing a little bit of feedback there. Can you hear that, Kate?
No,
must just be coming from my side. I'll just have a little look at my settings. But they, where they have, I guess, you know, I want to, for want of a better word, they've been inquiry based and then they've suddenly just gone, oh, and we want some knowledge organisers, slap some knowledge organisers on there. Or they've been doing, you know, something else and they've just said, oh, this is the latest fad. Throw that into the mix as well. I'm not really considered how those things work together. So you're saying one of the things that you've done hand in hand here is take the pedagogy, the teaching and learning alongside the curriculum as you go.
Yeah, definitely. Just got to excuse you. My dog is coming in from a walk and she's out of breath. So if you hear some panting, it's the dog. So we have really, really focused on pedagogy before pushing through with the curriculum design. Because ultimately our teachers need to be confident in those pedagogical principles. And we are actually having a half-termly focus on specific pedagogy approaches. So we have, and I know Kate Jones has her own show on Teachers Talk. So last term we looked at retrieval practice, and actually something came to light today in one of my lessons where I planned a retrieval placemat, and the children were retrieving their knowledge on the countries of the UK, because the lesson was supposed to be on continents and oceans. But they, just by planning that retrieval task, I knew that my children didn't have that knowledge, so I couldn't go further. And that's something that we wouldn't have necessarily noticed beforehand. So by focusing on that pedagogy, I think it is really improving the teaching and learning. This half term, we've introduced walkthroughs, which gives us a shared understanding of the different pedagogy techniques and the different teaching techniques. So we've looked at establishing expectations and rehearsing routines this half term. And you can hear, you know, the conversations around the school, the professional dialogue between staff saying, you know, I'm really focusing on those routines or those expectations I'm embedding, and we might not be getting as much work then, but those routines are in place straight away. So I think the pedagogy, if you haven't got that right, then no matter what you do with your curriculum, I think it's not going to be as successful as it would be if you work on pedagogy too.
Fantastic. And, you know, as I say, hearing that described as a process, I think is really interesting. Also, you know, as I'm going through, I'm ticking off, just got my, you know, my standards here. So you're engaged with stakeholders, children are on board now as well as staff. Have you put any of this out to the parents?
This is the next step. So this is actually on my action plan for autumn term, because I think we needed to get an understanding of where we wanted to go with the curriculum ourselves and what our vision was for it. So now we are going to be asking parents and the local community and the governors about well, what do they expect children to be able to know by the end of year six? What do we want them to be able to do and be and achieve and experience? And then we'll use that feedback then to also plan and implement our curriculum further.
Yeah, I really like that. I relate that to one of the things that we had a big push for in England, but we did in a similar way, was we talked about 50 things. It ended up being 60, but we started off with 50 things that every child should get to experience. And we went out to parents and governors. And, you know, some of those things were beautiful, like, you know, take a trip to the zoo, build a snowman. These things that if you're looking at a curriculum, and this is where maybe primary is different to secondary, I guess, or writing your own curriculums means you can be a bit more broad. But parents want some of those things. Governors want a school that, you know, puts on a nativity. And so by writing it into your curriculum, or by at least listening to those things that people want in the curriculum, which essentially is just a posh name for the school experience, I would say, you're kind of really getting that all-encompassing, rounded child, which I think maybe is what we're supposed to be aiming for with the Welsh curriculum.
Oh, I totally agree. I think one of the biggest things, especially when you do work in the valleys, and not to kind of put a dampener on where we live, but we don't live right next to a beach, or we're not necessarily the most affluent area. So if we can say by the end of year one, every single child in our school would have been to the beach, you know, or even just going across to Aberdare Park. There are some children that live in Aberdare but have never been to the park. So it shouldn't matter wherever, what their background is or where they come from. They would all have had those same experiences. And I think that's given every opportunity to every child every day. And actually that's our school motto. So, you know, giving them those opportunities.
Yeah, you know, I really like it, and the way you talk about that, and, you know, certainly it's something I feel. And, you know, as I say, I work in East Swansea, which, you know, for anyone who doesn't know the kind of parts, generally in any industrialised city, the East End is where the industry was historically. And then in most large cities, this is the geographer in me coming out, that disappeared. And so there is elements of poverty. And there are, you know, I have worked with children previously in Swansea, which has a bay. I mean, you know, Swansea Bay, and it has areas of outstanding natural beauty in the Gower just down the road. Who had not been to the beach, or at least were not regularly going to the beach, because we, you know, we have to put some of these opportunities in front of people. And some of them, I guess, are without consulting, you really don't know, because it's very easy for us to say, ah, the beach, tick, that's one. Or we, you know, we write an Enid Blyton type curriculum of, you know, these wonderful experiences. But, you know, sometimes they are, you know, really simple things that people overlook or don't think about, like, as you say, sort of going to the local park, running on an actual racetrack. You know, some of these things are seeing a animal or holding an animal that isn't a pet, you know, holding a farm animal, or seeing an actual chicken or an egg hatch. These are things that, you know, I guess we have to explicitly, if we believe them to be valuable and would do them for our children, we have to write into our curriculums.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think, like you said, we've all been guilty of it, of, you know, oh, let's write a census poem about being at the beach. What could we feel? Well, we have no understanding. We don't know how many of those children have actually been to the beach. Yeah, so we have that expectation sometimes that every child has had what we like to think is a basic experience of going to the beach, but isn't actually something that every child has the opportunity to do. So, like you said, the curriculum isn't just the knowledge of what we teach, it's the whole school experience.
And I guess this might be hard, you know, I don't know if we have many of our secondary colleagues listening, but certainly, you know, secondary for me, I feel, is driven by exam specs. You know, and so because you need to pass a GCSE with this exam board, the content of the curriculum is designed to get you to pass that test. And in England, certainly at some points, we're guilty of that with the SATs, you know, that we teach towards achieving a SATs result. But now with the curriculum changes as they are, and this has happened in England as well, that this expectation that you define what you want the outcome to be and you want the child to be at the end and you judge yourself against that is what you're designing with this curriculum for Wales.
Yeah, it is. It's, you're looking at that end goal, you know, going back to that backwards design. It's looking at what, by the end of Aberdare Park, you know, what do we want our children to be? What do we want them to be? And we've actually come up with the Inspire curriculum, and we've got a little acronym, and we want our children to have inquisitive minds, nurturing hearts, successful learners, a passion for learning. We want to inspire their futures, want them to be resilient and respectful. We want every child to have every opportunity every day. You know, and that's kind of when we thought about our curriculum, those are what we wanted our children to have, those skills and those experiences by the end of year six. And we do have, if that's what we want to do, what are we going to put in place to ensure that our children achieve those? If we're expecting children to be resilient, what opportunities are we planning for to allow them to develop resilience? You know, resilience isn't something that just is learnt. It has to be explicitly planned for. You know, you have to kind of think about making mistakes and praising that mistakes and that risk taking. So, you know, you have to purposely plan for those experiences as well.
Yeah, and I guess as well as that, you know, something you mentioned earlier, which was there is a, you know, this difference between what we would call the taught curriculum and what I would term the court curriculum. Yeah. You know, what has been delivered and what has been actually received and held onto by the child. Now, listen, Kate, we have to go to the news. After the news, I'd really like to get into, I guess, probe a little bit for the nitty gritty of how you're, I guess, hoping to map this out, plan this out as you go, and kind of some of your thoughts on that. There are, of course, with Curriculum for Wales, I guess, no wrong answers to this as we're designing our own ones. And as I say, my experience of it is very English centred at the moment, although I have read up. So I'll be really interested to hear your thoughts, and maybe I will pose some questions that will make myself sound like I don't know enough about what I'm doing. But is that okay? We will see you after the news?
Of course. See you after the news.
See you after the news. Off we go.
This is Teachers Talk Radio, and this is Teachers Talk Radio News with Megan Goods.
This is your latest Teachers Talk Radio News. The government has announced plans to fund senior mental health leads training in all state schools and colleges in England. The training programme will help staff to promote mental health and well-being in their schools, to identify pupils who need support, and to work effectively with local mental health services for children. This funding comes in addition to the Wellbeing for Education Recovery programme launched in August of last year. COVID cases in Britain totaled 31,564 on the 21st of September, a rise of almost one-fifth in a week. Deaths have also risen by 10%. The latest figures have been attributed to students heading back to school. Over 122,000 children in England alone were out of school for COVID-related reasons last week. The results of the Children's Commissioner's Big Ask survey reveals that 71% of 9 to 17-year-olds and 94% of 6 to 8-year-olds were happy with their life overall. The surprisingly positive survey results have led to the naming of current students as the survivor generation. Far from snowflakes, the Commissioner said, these young people have been heroic. That was your latest Teachers Talk Radio News.
Live from Swansea, this is The Twilight Show with Nathan Ginn on Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live at ttradio.org, or to join in the conversation, download the Podbean app and search Teachers Talk Radio. Follow the hashtag TTRadio. Tune in, talk it out with Teachers Talk Radio.
Brydar pawb, croeso I Abertawe. Hello everyone, welcome to Swansea. You have joined me, Nathan Ginn, here on Wednesday's Twilight Show on Teachers Talk Radio. And if you have missed the start of the show, don't forget you can listen back at ttradio.org/listenback on our website. Or of course you can find us on all good podcasting applications and the Podbean app as well. I am talking to Kate Stewart, Year 3 Teacher, Curriculum for Wales Lead from Aberdare in South Wales, and we have been talking about some of the changes that are happening, some of the things that her school have been doing really to deal with it on the ground. Kate, are you there?
I am here. I haven't gone anywhere.
Fabulous. I listening to the news there, I do just want to bring this up. I'm putting my neck out there again. I'm clearly in a confrontational mood today. I've been a little bit confrontational about whiteboard pens. I've been a little bit confrontational about the Welsh government expecting schools to do all the work for them. But can we please not refer to the children as the survivor generation? I really dislike that as a phrase. And the Children's Commissioner using "far from snowflakes" as a quote. There's so much about that that I don't know. There's something that I can't put my finger on it, Kate. The survivor generation, how do you feel about that as a phrase?
Oh, to me, it doesn't sit well, you know?
There's just something about it that I'm just like, they're just good kids. Come on, you know, they've done well. Do we have to, you know, kind of label that? I don't know. They have been resilient, though. I will give them that.
I'm just going to say, the resilient generation.
Yeah, I like that much better. Resilient is more positive, I guess. They have been resilient. And I guess, I don't know, maybe this is the bounce back now. Certainly, I've seen kids, maybe this is anecdotal, I think a lot of them are really enjoying school more because of what we've been through. I don't know what your experience of that has been like.
Yeah, I think they definitely are. I think school before was taken for granted. We are that safe, trusted space for our children, aren't we? And when that's taken away for many of them, it causes some anxiety for them. So for them to come back into school and be back in the classrooms, and the classrooms are a hub of learning, it is just amazing. And like you said, the children do have that renewed love and passion for learning, which is great. Makes our jobs a lot easier.
Certainly, you know, a room full of passionate learners, I will take any day of the week. So, Kate, I wanted to kind of press you a little bit. We've heard about some of the implementation, the focus that you've had on matching your curriculum intent, the four purposes, to your pedagogical delivery of the curriculum, which I think, you know, is a really interesting and really valuable way to move towards what our goals are for the Curriculum for Wales. But I wanted to get into and kind of push you on your thoughts and feelings about where you're going to go, or where you might be heading already, with curriculum mapping, objectives, those kind of things. So have you done any work yet, I guess, on that kind of medium term mapping of content, and even into, for want of a better word, lesson objective type elements of the curriculum? Or are you taking a step back and being a lot more fluid with those?
Well, this is definitely a bone of contention for me. I think I've driven myself stir crazy the last 3 weeks, because we are actually at that part where we need to plan out the curriculum. We don't have, all we have done is autumn one. We haven't got a long-term map yet, and that is my plan for autumn term. What we are doing is, I've kind of banned the word topics in our school, for the moment anyway, and we've gone down the route of a concept-based inquiry curriculum. So what we've done is we've looked at the statements of what matters, and we've picked out the key concepts that are going through each statement of what matters. So, for example, we're doing consequences as a whole school. So what we did, we looked at what matters three within humanities as a starting point. And we used the descriptions of learning as reference points to determine how the knowledge, skills and experiences should be planned to support the learners to progress within that concept. So, for example, I know earlier you mentioned how one of the biggest bugbears of primary is that we have disjointed topics. You know, they might learn about pirates in reception, you know, and never build upon that knowledge as they progress through. And that's something that I'm really focusing on with our curriculum design, is making sure the concepts, you know, such as consequences, in reception, that could be the consequences of their actions. Then building on to the consequences of our actions on the natural world, and then the consequences that World War II had on Britain and Wales. And so we're building progression through concepts. But we're not doing it. And I know what's kind of confused me is that within the assessment consultation document, they said not to break down those descriptors of learning for assessment purposes, which is not what we're doing. We're breaking those descriptors down for purely planning and progression purposes. And when I looked at the Welsh Government today have released a new curriculum journey preparing for the rollout. And I was sat there today looking at it and reading it and disseminating it. And when they said that you can use those descriptors of learning as reference points, you know, to determine the knowledge and skills, I thought, right, what we're doing is right. You know, it kind of gave me that confidence, because ultimately those progression steps, a descriptor of learning is very vague. You know, if it says I need to be able to recognize the impact that I have on as humans on the natural world, well, what is the knowledge and what is the learning that we need to provide for our children in order to get there? So as a team of teachers, we sat down together and we mapped out, you know, we looked at those descriptors of learning, we looked at the statements of what matters, and we mapped out what we could cover within the concept of consequences. What I'm trying to promote is a very interdisciplinary approach to the curriculum. So it's not disjointed. We're not having the literacy hour, the maths hour, and then science, and then history, and then geography. It's actually, if you look at how the Welsh curriculum is, the curriculum for Wales, it allows for working across the AOLEs. So I know my class are looking at the impact of our actions on the natural world and how the natural world impacts us. And that's a humanities description. Whereas in science, they have to learn about how to look after their environment. And in health and well-being, they have to recognise, you know, their responsibility towards the environment. Well, it's very interdisciplinary. So that's kind of the process that we're going down at the moment.
And I guess, you know, it's a step beyond. My issue with topic-based learning always was that it was in some way a piecemeal kind of approach, because, you know, for anyone else who's worked in a primary school, what often would happen is, you know, you'd get given a topic, say you're going to do Romans. Okay, now you have to think about how your maths is going to fit into that, how you need to think about how your, and you would try and fit subjects into something that wasn't a subject. The curriculum for Wales has not removed subjects, but has certainly grouped them in much broader categories. Mm-hmm. And I think that allows more of this approach to learning where it is interdisciplinary, right?
Definitely, especially when you go down the concept route rather than topics, you know, pirates and dinosaurs and, like you said, the Romans and the Tudors. And actually, do our children really need to know about Tudor houses and Tudor clothes? They can compare and learn to compare and contrast about other things. But when you go down the route of identifying those key concepts through the areas, through the statements of what matters, then that allows for that golden thread throughout all of the AOLEs.
Yeah, certainly. I am going to push you on this, though, because there will be people listening who will be, you know, particularly if they're trained in England, they will be, you know, screaming at you and I, where's the knowledge, right? So within this, Michael Gove is on the phone and he's saying to me, you know, not that I would answer it, but he's saying, you know, where are the facts? Have you got facts in there? Have you got kind of content of knowledge in there as well?
Yeah, 100%. You know, we sat down as staff and looked at the descriptors of learning, and we did identify, well, what do our children need to know in order to be able to understand their impacts on the natural world? Well, they need to know what the natural world is. They need to know what natural is and what man-made is. So obviously there is a place for knowledge, but for us in our school, and definitely for the Welsh curriculum, you know, it says within the document that experiences, knowledge and skills are key for employment, lifelong learning and active citizenship. I'm sure something along those lines anyway. So even the Welsh government state that there's place for knowledge, but there's also place for skills. And they are combined. You know, you have to teach some knowledge, of course, but we can also teach the children to apply their knowledge through the application of skills. So for example, you know, I'll go for a concept like kindness. Children need to know what kindness is, you know, what that looks like, why it's important to be kind before they can apply the skills of kindness and treating others with respect. In my class, you know, we're looking at the declining bee population because we're looking at the consequences of human actions. And the children need to knowledge of why the bee population is declining. But then we're going to use this knowledge and the integral skills, so their problem solving, their creative thinking, their planning opportunities to create a bee garden within school and hopefully within Aberdeer Park. So I think there is definitely a place for knowledge and skills, but by developing an inquiry mindset through a concept-based inquiry curriculum, it promotes knowledge and skills. It's about empowering learners with the tools, the understanding and the skills to make a difference in the world. So for me, I think there's a place for both.
Yeah, you know, I think it is an unfair question, and I lean towards when I rewrote my most recent school's curriculum, which I did over lockdown, one of the things that we did was we put in it three elements of knowledge, skills and experiences, because that was something that we felt they needed. It was something that we wanted to measure. But also, and I, you know, I've got it open in front of me, we've talked about walkthroughs already. But when they talk about knowledge in it, they describe it as there's declarative knowledge, which is the kind of stuff, facts, that people most normally would do. But they also talk about procedural knowledge, the ability, what we a lot of people would term skills. But that is knowledge. If you tell me that a shoemaker doesn't have knowledge in what they're doing, then, you know, and there is also experiential knowledge that really can only be gained by touch, by doing it, which is when we talked about, I guess, the beach as well. So these are all knowledge. Sometimes we get hung up on this idea that, you know, we need a fact-based curriculum. Yeah. Rather than knowledge in its broadest sense, I guess.
Definitely. And that brings me, you know, back to the conversation I had with my head teacher yesterday. You know, what do we all have a shared understanding of what knowledge is? You know, like you mentioned that there's the declarative knowledge, those facts, those concepts, which I think is what people automatically think of. And I probably would have before I started researching about the curriculum. But ultimately, it is developing that shared understanding of what knowledge is, even if that's to begin within our school, do we all have a shared understanding of knowledge? But I definitely think, you know, there is that place for all three of those, you know, procedural knowledge. It's like you don't know how to ride a bike until you actually do it. You know how to ride a bike because you've practiced it and you've done it. You don't necessarily need factual knowledge of how the bike works. You just need to learn to ride the pedals, isn't it? And hold the brake.
Well, yeah. And I would say, you know, sometimes for me, that's where, you know, there is a freedom. And this is why I hated things like the literacy hour and the numeracy hour when they existed in different parts of the UK at different times, I know, and in different ways. But I hated this idea of lesson structures because some parts of learning for me have to happen in a different order. You know, sometimes you have to do the thing first and then have it explained to you how it happened. Sometimes it's better to explain first and let them go through it step by step. And, you know, anything where there is too much structure for me, I find, you know, is anti-pedagogy in a way. It prevents you from teaching in a way that is most effective.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I was actually reading an Estyn document. So that's the Welsh version of Ofsted. And within that document, they said that if you were teaching maths and literacy in the morning and then teaching your topic in the afternoon, it's disjointed. You know, it is that out of fashion way of teaching. The way we're trying to develop a holistic curriculum, you know, we're actually, your literacy is embedded. So of course, some things still need to be taught discreetly. You know, some maths needs to be taught discreetly. Like you said, otherwise you're shoehorning, oh, let's teach times tables through the Romans. It's not going to happen. But as much as we can, I think we need to be flexible with the curriculum and in how we're teaching the different things.
So we have one more ad break, Kate, and then when we come back, what I want to do is I want to just finish off just by, I guess, some hopes and some fears about the curriculum for Wales, and we will tie everything all up. If you've just joined us, we're about to go to some adverts, but we are talking to Kate Stewart. She's a Year 3 teacher from Aberdeen and Curriculum for Wales lead, and we're talking about curriculum design and, I guess, the pitfalls and the highlights of it. So off we go to the ads and we will see you on the other side.
Need support with your phonics teaching? Did you know Oxford University Press now has 3 DfE validated programs to help you? Read Write Ink Phonics, Floppy's Phonics, and the brand new Essential Letters and Sounds. Essential Letters and Sounds will get all your children reading well, quickly, using phonics books you may already have in your classroom. Developed by the Knowledge Schools Trust English Hub, it's affordable, easy to use, and makes teaching phonics with letters and sounds more effective. Whatever your school's phonics needs, Oxford has the solution. To find out more and receive support from your expert local educational consultant, visit oxfordprimary.com/phonics. Do you struggle with people pleasing? Is it a constant battle managing different and difficult personalities? Why not inspire, challenge, and empower your team through the MAL CPD Essential Coaching Skills for School Leaders course, or gain practical skills to become a strong and compassionate leader through the Assertive Leadership and the Emotionally Intelligent Leader courses. All MAL CPD courses are accredited by the Institute of Leadership and Management. Find out more at www.malcpd.com. Every teacher loves stationery, right? Imagine getting a selection of fun, beautiful, and unique stationery items designed and selected especially for teachers, delivered through your door every month. You need to check out teacherslovestationery.club.
I'm always so excited when the box arrives. It's such a treat.
My Teachers Love Stationery Club box is just a little treat to myself every month.
It's always full of delightful and surprising items, including some really good quality stationery brands.
And because you never know what you're going to get, it makes it even more fun and special when you get it.
Visit teacherslovestationery.club and enter the code TTRADIO when you buy your first stationery box to save £2 today. Teacherslovestationery.club. Live from Swansea, this is The Twilight Show with Nathan Ginn on Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live at ttradio.org, or to join in the conversation, download the Podbean app and search Teachers Talk Radio. Follow the hashtag TTRadio. Tune in, talk it out with Teachers Talk Radio.
Borodar Palb, Croeso I Abertawi. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Swansea. It is me, Nathan Ginn, on the Twilight Show. Even more Twilight as we get into winter. Twilight Show here on Teachers Talk Radio. And I'm talking to Kate Stewart, Year 3 teacher, Curriculum for Wales lead. And we are talking about curriculum planning and development. Kate, are you still there?
I am still here as the darkness approaches.
It is. Now, it's just come to me and I've written it on a post-it note because I listened back to my show and I just did it just before that. I say I guess all the time. Now, you have done a fantastic job on this interview. It's been so lovely talking to you. Have you ever done anything like Iris Connect or any of those things where you have to watch yourself back?
No, I think... Oh, no, I don't think I could do it.
Are you going to listen to yourself back?
No, definitely not.
No. Well, it has been fantastic. And I hope your head is still listening because it has been wonderful. And, you know, maybe when lockdowns ease and everything, I might pop up and visit your school and see these. You know, I'd love to have an invite. So if your head teacher is listening, invite me up to have a look because it sounds wonderful and it is just up the valley. But yeah, Swansea at the moment, we've been put in quite a stern lockdown because, you know, we are having our issues here in Swansea with the old COVID restrictions. Are you heading down to Research Ed come the new year in Cardiff?
Yes. I'm waiting for the tickets to be released. They haven't been released yet, have they?
No, I mean, we're doing it through my school, but so you know, when I saw that, really excited. I wanted to go to the one in London, didn't get to go to it because I had other commitments, but to have one here in South Wales, fantastic. I was worried they put it in North Wales and then they but to have it in Cardiff just down the road is fantastic. Well, that is wonderful as well. Exciting things. I think I want to finish off, and we are right into the kind of ending segments of our show about, you know, you talked at the start about you've taught in Dubai, you've taught in Spain, you've used the amended, I would say, English/British curriculums that they use. You obviously started in Wales, back in Wales now, facing a new curriculum. How do you feel about the Welsh education system as a whole?
You know, I'm quite a positive person and I'll go with any changes. And I think, you know, the changes they're doing, I think they mean well. I think the education system, they mean well. You know, staff, teachers have been complaining about the curriculum for some time. Oh, it's too content driven. Oh, I've got to get through things so much. So they've actually reflected on that and changed it, but actually gone a little bit too far and given us free rein pretty much. But, you know, I think they are listening to feedback and the national networks, you know, those networks amongst teachers. And they've actually released this week feedback from staff with regards to the new curriculum. So as long as they listen to us teachers on the ground, I think it can go in the right direction. It might just take a little bit longer. It's a journey, not a destination, isn't it?
Sorry, Kate. I think I'm losing you just for a second there. Would you mind just repeating that last bit? No, I think it might have been my end, but just repeat that last little bit for me.
So just saying that the curriculum for Wales is a journey. It's not a destination. And I think as long as the Welsh Government and ESTYN and all those outside agencies realise that, then I think it can be a good change.
But maybe I think you've hit the nail on the head there in my feelings about the Welsh curriculum, for want of a better word, or the Welsh education system, is that it does feel, and I have felt since being here and when I was last here as well, which was, you know, over 10 years ago when I trained here and was teaching here at the start of my career, that it feels like there is more acceptance here that we are on a developmental journey together than when I was in England. Certainly, it felt like everyone expected you to immediately be at the end point without having any time in between. And I certainly feel that here, that maybe there is this acceptance that we're all growing, we're all developing.
Yeah, I think that's coming with change. I know, for example, our staff, when I said, what do you need from me as a leader? Many of them said, we want to know what the end's going to look like. But unfortunately, adopting a curriculum is the beginning of an ongoing period of development and refinement. So your curriculum is continuously evolving. It's never going to be a one-off, once and done activity where you just do the same thing every year. And I think that's where this curriculum for Wales is going. It is, you know, you're constantly improving, you're constantly adapting. I've been in a school where they've said, why are you changing it? We've done it for 7 years. It works. Well, that's something we probably shouldn't say in education. So I think now, as the curriculum is moving forward, that idea of being comfortable with change is really embedding.
Yeah, we've had a text in saying that Kate's head teacher is listening and is very proud.
Oh, Joe, it's going to make me tear up.
It's like, I wasn't planning this to be like one of those, you know, emotional shows where we get into it, but maybe we do at the end. Maybe it becomes like a kind of a little feature for the end of the show where we kind of shower you in praise. Because as I say, you do sound like if I was a teacher at your school, I would feel really comfortable and confident, even as you say, this worry about us not really knowing where we're going. But it sounds like you have, you know, a considered approach, a planned approach to get there. And one of the things about getting somewhere, and we always say this with leadership, I think, about, you know, involving everyone. Well, one of the problems of involving your children, your staff, your parents, your governors, is that for them to actually have any more than a false ownership of it, there has to be some kind of uncertainty about where you're going, right? Because if you knew, why would you involve them? And you really value what they're doing. You wanted to hear from the children. You wanted to hear from the staff. And so I guess coming with that means there has to be a little uncertainty about what they're going to say.
Yeah, of course. And I think, like I mentioned earlier, I have a vision. I kind of know where we're going, but things come out and parent feedback will come in and governor feedback will come in that will give us a new direction. And we have to go with the flow, you know. Ultimately, we have to design a curriculum for our children. And if the parents are unanimous in an experience that they think the children should have, then we need to take that on board. And it's a community, isn't it? The curriculum for Wales isn't just what us as teachers think that the children should know, because who are we to say that? You know, they're going out into the real world, and ultimately, our community knows what our children really need.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, and it is a service, and we are, you know, designing curriculums for our schools, not the school down the road, you know, not some imaginary Enid Blyton school. And certainly, you know, it has to meet the needs of the children we have, you know, not the children, you know, that we might imagine or want. Mm-hmm. And so, I it sounds like all of those things are coming into place for you. We are coming right to the end. But as I say, again, thank you so much. It has been wonderful. I assume that wonderful things are in the pipeline for you outside of this. Are you, you know, planning any of these Welsh MAs that have been funded or anything like that for you in the pipeline?
No, I'm going on the Senior Leadership Development Programme and I'm working with the National Network. So I'm just loving my role at the moment. I think, am I a bit of a geek to say that curriculum design is my hobby? But
honestly, don't. I feel the same way. We've just had a text in saying, I'm Kate's deputy and Kate's one of the most knowledgeable and passionate teachers I've ever had the pleasure of working with. Kate's deputy, I would say 100% I get that. You know, we've been talking for just over an hour and I can certainly, you know, I can hear that. You know, as an ex-deputy myself, you know, as a primary school deputy, it really is shining through. But Kate, I agree with you. People thought I was mad when I was sat there in my office kind of thinking about the curriculum and getting excited about the different things we could do in the pedagogy. But, you know, being in charge of teaching and learning and curriculum are two of the best roles I think you can have, certainly in a primary school. I think they are certainly the best.
Definitely. I don't think I'm sad for reading curriculum design books on a Saturday night at all.
No, you know, have a break sometimes, Kate. Get down to the Gower, right? It's only your Barry Island in the other direction. You know, have a little bit of a break, some fish and chips or something down here on the coast. And, you know, and then, yeah, you know, on the way back, listen to a couple of Teachers Talk Radio. You can listen back at teacherstalkradio.com/listenback. That's my plug for everyone. Now, unfortunately, it is time for us to end. I'm sure I will hear more great things about you. I'll continue to follow you on Twitter and find out how things are going. I know that there are a lot of Welsh educators out there who have been kind enough to take me on board and point me in the direction of where I need to be looking. So any last words, Kate?
Just thank you ever so much for reaching out. I'm not sure, you know, if I provided any insight, but thank you for listening and thank you for allowing us to share our wonderful journey.
I think your honesty and your passion, Kate, will have not only supported people but inspired them as well. So well done. Everyone, Nostar, and good night from here in Swansea on Teachers Talk Radio. Nostar, Kate.
Nostar, thank you. Diolch yn fawr.
Diolch yn fawr.
You've been listening to Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live and listen back at ttradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you next time on Teachers Talk Radio.